Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Calvary Chapel of Chapel Hill. Pastor Vince here. And if you need a Bible, raise your hand and we will have our usher get one to you. Anybody not have a Bible and need one? Going once, going twice. All right, we're good. Wonderful. Good to gather together this morning and come together in the house of the Lord. And it was such a sweet, sweet time of worship, singing unto our King and tuning the instruments of our heart upwards. That's what we do when we gather together, tune our instruments of our hearts upwards, that we can be ready to commune with him, to worship him, to know him more. Because that's why we're here. This is the watering hole. We come, get filled, and then go out, tell people about Jesus, share Jesus, live for Jesus, glorify Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, now we come to the part where we dig into your word, Lord. We delve into your word, Lord. And Father, we give this time unto you. Lord Jesus, I would ask that you help every single distraction that can try to come in, that we just focus on you, Lord, and what you desire to speak to your people. Father, I pray, till the soil of every heart in this place, Lord. You know what crevices and chambers have been closed, Lord. Help them all to be open unto you, Lord Jesus. Father, that every single one of us would be refined by you this morning, would be encouraged by you. Lord, that we would leave this place and they'd know we've beheld the glory of our Lord and that we would have a fire to serve you more, Lord. Lord, we were made by you and for you. Help us, Lord, to live as that living sacrifice, to not be conformed to the world, but be renewed. And Lord, we're only renewed through your word. So, Father, may the preaching of your word this morning, Lord, as I surrender myself unto you, seeking that filling afresh of your spirit to do your service as your under-shepherd, Lord, may it work its way in all of our lives through your spirit and for your glory. In the majestic name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. So we are back in Acts. We took a little detour last week to start the new year looking at Philippians and recalibrating ourselves. So hopefully everybody had a good week recalibrating. Anybody go to the store and run into somebody and sing More Love, More Power? Not yet. I'm still waiting for it. Please, somebody do it. But again, just grateful and excited that we now can dig back into Acts. And when we were last in Acts, we finished chapter 15, started chapter 16. And as we were walking through our text, we saw that departure that took place between Paul and Barnabas. We saw Timothy join the troops to come along now with Paul and Silas. And they're going onwards, and this is the second missionary journey. And again, we're going to be in Acts chapter 16, and we'll be in verses 6 to 15 this morning. And, you know, as we look at the sermon slide, I have us just wondering that question, are you picking up the call? Are you picking up the call? And we're going to go old school this morning when we think about picking up the call. Old school where you didn't have caller ID. I think there was a time where there wasn't caller ID. Is that accurate? If you're older than me, help me, please. There was a time there wasn't caller ID. And you would pick up and you'd have to, you know the voice. You get to know voices and you would discern, you know, is this really Mary Sue? It is Mary Sue. How are you? I rhymed, wow. But you go through and you would know that and you would discern. It would be old school. We didn't have all these things that we relied on to kind of make it easy. Possible robocall, all this. You just got the robocalls, although I don't know if there were robocalls back then. No, okay, I'm young. Not that you're not young. I'm going to stop talking age. But when we think about this idea of phone calls and picking up the phone and discerning, that's some of what we're going to be looking at this morning as we journey on in Acts. You might be here this morning and you're wrestling through a decision and you're thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do about dot, dot, dot? Lord, where do you want me to go? Lord, how do you want me to handle this? Lord, what's the calling on my life? Lord, what's my purpose? Lord, how do we do? Anybody there? Right? You might be there this morning. And I pray that this message for all of us reminds us of a truth. Our Lord speaks to us. Our Lord communes with us. Our Lord guides us. Can you put the hat picture up? We all want to be cops. okay? I saw this hat yesterday. I resisted the urge to buy it, but I snapped a picture of it. Christians obediently preaching salvation. Let's all be cops, right? But there's a part of this that's very important. Obediently. Obediently. And our obedience is to one alone, the Lord God Almighty. Not to man, not to political systems, not to whatever agenda comes before. It's to the Lord God Almighty. And we've got to ask ourselves this morning, are you listening? Are you obedient? It's like we're all wandering. We got a compass in hand. We're walking with our compass. Get that one up. There we go. And we're wondering, where am I going? Lord, give me some direction. Our compass should be seeking to go towards the Lord God Almighty. And there's two different sets of lyrics from two songs that, one, we don't sing, and maybe we will at some point, Spirit Lead Me. And I love these lyrics. If you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. If you say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. And if you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. Spirit, lead me. And we're going to be looking today, the Holy Spirit leading, because that's the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. He helps, he leads, he guides, he comforts, he leads us. And we need to listen to the Holy Spirit's leading. Another lyric, set of lyrics, we sing these, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. When we sing that, that's that reminder. We let the Spirit lead us, and it's not about thinking, okay, well, I'm only going to do it if I'm this safe and I have my bubble of safety. No, sometimes the gospel calls for us to say, given it all, life or death, for you, Lord Jesus. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Wherever the Lord calls, I'm going to go. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. So these are two sets of lyrics that remind us about the Spirit of God giving us direction, giving us discernment. And as we get the direction, as we get the discernment, then we start to make decisions because our lives, we're on a road trip. We're journeying. We're all driving. Life is a road trip. When I used to be a school administrator, that was one of my favorite things to do at the beginning of the year for faculty. Be like, it's going to be road trip whatever year it is. And if you put signs one up, we remember all these road signs, right? And our lives with the Lord, we're going to see road signs. Sometimes we see a dead end. Sometimes we see a U-turn. Sometimes we see do not enter. Don't go there. That's not where I want you right now. The Lord sometimes gives us speed limits. Because if we think about it, how many of you know the Lord lays something on your heart? I want to be done with it all now. And the Lord's like, actually, you're going to go 15 miles per hour. But I want to go 55. I want to go 60 on 40. It's a struggle for me, the speed. So you see all this. You see under construction, because we are under construction. Signs two, then we look at some traffic signs that point us to Jesus. Remember, the U-turn, turn from your wicked ways and return to God. One way to salvation, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Stop trusting on yourself and your own righteousness. May we all think that every time we see a stop sign. Believe how Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Yield your pride and humble yourself before the Lord. Share the gospel on the road to salvation. That's what we're all supposed to be doing. We all need to yield to God. Yield to God. Can you get that one? When we yield to God, it's taking my will, it's taking what I want and saying, no, 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 no. I yield it to you, Lord Jesus. And that's an important piece of what we all need to do because guess what? We have our plan for life and then God has his plan for life. Our plan, it's going to be, woo, nice and easy. The Lord's plan, I don't know about y'all, but that looks a lot familiar. You know, boom, and then you're going, you go up and down. And that's the Lord's plan. And we've got to be comfortable with that. And we've got to be able to wrestle with that and be okay with that. And we have to remember God guides, and as he guides, he provides. God calls, and as he calls you, he'll equip you. There's sometimes a hesitancy where the Lord is giving that call and it's like, well, you know, I can't go on that missionary trip yet because I don't know everything about the people there and I haven't learned the language yet and I haven't, hold the phone. If God calls, go, he's going to equip you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Our key needs to be that we listen to the Lord, that we trust the Lord, that we obey the Lord. And in that, we have to be okay with God's timing. That's where a big struggle can come in. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord, covenant relationship name, directs his steps. That's something we can struggle with. Because you got your plan, you've got the map of, okay, Lord, you're laying this. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to go share the gospel. I'm going to go in this way. But the Lord directs steps. And when the Lord puts us and he's directing us, there's a pathway I want us to think about as you're trying to discern the Lord. The pathway along the way, it's going to, I encourage you, always look for scripture that the Lord's ministering and guiding as you're seeking to follow him. Because it's rooted in the word of God. And there's times on the journey we get a no. No means you got to wait. Wait. If we look at Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now this wait, we see it throughout the Psalms. We see this wait also, Isaiah 40 is a passage many of us know, wait on the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, we see wait often. And often when we see wait in the Old Testament, it's this Hebrew word, kavah. And there's something I want to point out with this as we're a load up to the text that we're going to. There's a figurative and there's a literal meaning to this word. The figurative is an expectancy. It's a looking for. It's eagerly awaiting. And then when you receive, you run. You go. And this literal of this Hebrew word literally is two cords that get twisted and intertwined and they get stronger and stronger and stronger together. So then there's a little application for us when we see wait in Scripture. We have to be deeply connected with God. We've got to be intertwined with our Lord. We need to not be rushing. We need to be staying in step with him. He says, move, move. He says, stop, stop. Waiting on the Lord, brothers and sisters, it's not passive. And that's something we're going to see in our scripture today because Paul's going to get these, nope, forbidden, not permitted to go. But it doesn't then mean, okay, I just guess I'm just going to sit and then the Lord will pick me up and place me where, no. He keeps moving forward, but listening to the directing of the Lord, it's an act of trust. It's unwavering confidence in his faithfulness and in his timing. That's what it boils down to. And our text today reminds us of all these bits. And I laid it up the way we do that because we've got to think about when we're making decisions, when we're trying to discern things, because what's something so many times, what's the Lord's will in this situation? Because just to seek his will, right? We want to live for him, but how do we do that? How does it work? And okay, well, if I'm seeking, it must mean I just need open doors and every single open door I have to walk through it because it must be the Lord. No, the enemy can open up some doors too. I haven't shared this. I remember starting this journey as the pastorate and month into it, had not heard from my manager from performing days for years, suddenly get an email offering a very lucrative gig in out in the Midwest, and it's like, come do this. I say, I see what you're doing here, enemy. No, thank you. Great chance to share the gospel, though. Just because the door's open doesn't necessarily mean the Lord's the one who's opened the door. So we need to be discerning. We need to be prayerful, and this passage is going to walk us through discernment. This passage is going to remind us of that, and it's also going to remind us, brothers and sisters, about our hearts. And I think we all know the Lord wants how much of our heart? All of it. Which means we've got to make sure every nook and cranny's available, accessible unto him. One other piece I want us to look at before we look at the text is the map. Because again, this is the second missionary journey. We're going to see this map often. Last time we were in Lystra and Derbe. I tried to color code it this time. So the yellow are the places where we're going to see the movement going. Guess what the red is? Those are the spots where the Lord said, you're not going there. And then we're going to see where we land this morning in Philippi. We're going to be seeing where we land. So this morning, I'm going to just pray beforehand, and we're going to go into the text right now this morning. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you that we can come together. And Lord, I just ask for your leading and guiding as we walk through these verses, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask that you empty me, get me out of the way, Lord, to bring forth the word that you need for your people. Lord, I would ask that you give us ears to hear. Father God, open our hearts, Lord Jesus, for you alone can do this, Lord. And Lord, it will help us to be obedient and to surrender and giving you all. Father, teach us through the preaching of your word. Lord, I would ask you give me every word, every means of delivery for the edification, the conviction, the encouragement, the exhortation, the growth of your sheep, Lord. To be obedient to the call to feed your sheep and to tend your sheep. Father, in that regard, I pray too that any areas of conviction you bring, that each person would take it unto you in prayer and allow your spirit to lead and teach them more. Father, that we wouldn't just be hearers, but that we would seek to be doers of your word for your glory. In the name above all other names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. So as we begin, we look at verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So we see here there's a desire to go to Mysia, there's a desire to go to Bithynia, and in one case, the Spirit of God forbids, and in the other, the Spirit of God does not permit. This is God saying no. Now, we need to remember when God says no, that's not necessarily a case where the Lord's saying, okay, no, you're out of this. No, it's a redirection. It's not rejection, it's a redirection. And as we look to this, it's understanding that the Lord's no, there's purpose behind when the Lord says no. Because this isn't in this text saying Paul's desire to go preach the gospel, shame on you, that's a horrible thing to desire. No. But this no is saying, you know, you're not you, not right now. It's not the right time right now. It's not you right now. We've got to all ask ourselves, can I accept when God says no to me? How do you do when God says no? What's it like? Everybody here just said, Lord, yes, okay, fine, I'll wait. No. You kick up, you know, you can get a little, Sometimes I'll speak in Creole to the Lord. You know, come on, Lord. But he says no. I like this little cartoon. When I say no, it's because I see what you don't. And we need to realize that. At times when our Savior says no to us, that no is coming because guess what? He knows all. And even though we think this is the best thing for me, I know better than you. Well, that's where you win or miss. We never know better than him. He knows all. So if you're in a no right now, then you've got to say, okay, Lord, I hear the no. I surrender. I'm going to trust. I'm going to obey. That's the cycle we have to get to when we hear no from the Lord. Surrender, trust, obey. Surrender, trust, obey. Surrender, trust, obey. And I'll add in P, so we have stop. Praise. Surrender, trust, obey, praise. That's a good pattern to take when the Lord says no. Now, we don't get in our text the exact way to figure out, okay, how did the Lord say no to them in this moment? What was done that gave this no? We don't get it, but we do know there's different ways the Lord, through scripture and through relationship with him, does give no's. There's the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he directly speaks. Sometimes it's through that inner sense from the Spirit of God. This is not to go. Sometimes it's just roadblocks that make it impossible. And it's like, all right, the Lord's not letting this go down. And there's a piece of this we need to remember, the peace of God. Because the will of God is confirmed with the peace of God. It's that peace where it's like, okay, might not make sense to anybody else, but Lord, I'm moving forward. This is what you're directing. This is what I'm going to do. So Lord, I'm going to do that. I remember the journey of us moving to North Carolina was one that made no sense. I'm in a head search and all of these ones that just make so sense. I mean, a choir school, hello, I'd be great for you. No, 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 because the Lord knew I need to get you down to North Carolina so you finally obey the calling I have on your life. And he used different circumstances, but each time there was a peace from him. And when no came, it wasn't then, okay, there's that no, so I'm not going to do anything. No, you keep moving forward and you trust and you obey and you wait for the Lord to speak. Verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we see now this vision comes to Paul. He's moving forward. He's in obedience. And this vision takes place. And the vision, he sees this man saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Guess what? The Lord still speaks through dreams. The Lord still speaks through visions. Now, this is then not to then say, okay, the Lord speaks through dreams. Let me go to Barnes & Noble and get a dream interpretation book, and now I'm ready. It says that a polka dot means I'm going to win the lotto tomorrow. I'm playing the lotto. I had dreamt about polka dots. No, y'all. That's not what we do. Look at how dreams come up in the Word of God. There's the dream coming. There's multiple dreams coming. The dream is confirmed. It never goes against the Word of God. There's an order and way to this. I shared months ago a testimony of one who had a dream of the Lord, a Muslim man, and came to faith. And we're seeing the Lord in that region speak to people in dreams. It comes forth, but there's a way to it. But the bit here is making sure you're walking forward and waiting for the Lord to make clear, go. The Lord to say where he wants you to go, how he wants you to go. And in this case, the Lord used a vision. And the one from Macedonia comes and says, help us. And then look what we see in verse 10. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we notice a change now. We suddenly now see we. Got to pause there for a second, because all before this whole book, we haven't seen somebody writing now first person. We went, we go. What takes place here? Luke now joins. There's going to be four times. This is the first of four as we journey through the book of Acts that we'll see the writing change like this to we. He's along on this journey. Which is interesting, because if we think about the obedience to the no's, there's some things that come from this no. God guides, God provides. Now Luke is coming along. There's another person to come. Luke is a doctor. Some wonder if at some point in this journey, that's when the thorn in the flesh became a reality for Paul. So now he has a doctor with him on the journey, the Lord providing there. But there's this other one there to go with. Luke now joins. So after he had seen the vision, immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, it's interesting. The no's forbid, didn't permit. The yes came. How did they respond? We waited 5 years. No, immediately. When the Lord says go, go. But I need to make, when the Lord says go, go. And sometimes, most of the time, all the time, it's going to require faith. Faith in God, faith in his character, faith in his faithfulness. But when he says go, go. And notice the vision, it was help us. And right away they go immediately and they do the best way to help when someone says help us. Preach the gospel to them. Remember that, brothers and sisters. When you're out and about and say, can you help me? Preach the gospel. Share Jesus. Share Jesus every opportunity to get. That's the best help you can give anybody. That's eternal help. It's the best that you can give anyone. So that's what takes place. And then we see in verse 11, therefore, sailing from Troas, we went a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. So a few things to point out there. This notice, it was a 400-mile journey from when they began and when they end in Troas. That's 400 miles walking forward, but in the Lord going, no. I ask you again, how do you respond when the Lord says no? Would you have made it the 400 miles, or are you sitting kicking up sand? This is not fair. Keep moving forward. Keep walking with the King, and he will lead. He will go. And the yes, what takes place? They go immediately. The yes now also does something else. He was hitting the region of Asia. But remember when we looked at that map, we're on another continent now. What did we talk about last week with the Philippians when we looked at that book? This is the first church in Europe. It's like the Lord's like, yeah, I had no's for you. I know you wanted this region, but I need you to be the one to go to this continent and get the gospel out. Sometimes a no is because we ourselves have limited what the Lord wants to do in and through us. Don't limit what the Lord can do in and through you. Our prayer, my honey bunny and I, of late, is we're praying this is just a body of on fire powerhouse laborers for the Lord. That we're all, Lord, where do you want me to go? And in obedience you go. You want me to talk to Paul and Nancy and say, hey, can I Almond Branch, or I want to India, whatever it be, or another place. Pray, obey, go. And be about what he's leading, what he's asking. So they go straight course to Samothrace. Now, this is an interesting thing because that straight course, that means that the wind as they're sailing was on their back. That's a nice way to go. It's a 156-mile journey that in this place only takes 2 days. But when we hit it later at the end of Acts, we're going to see the journey back takes 5 days. So going in the will of God, he's going to lead. It's going to be good. Now, it doesn't mean that there won't be opposition. Lest you then say, okay, I'm only in the will of God if everything's going picture perfect. Oh, it just got hard. This must not be God's will. Come on. If it gets hard, that means you got to keep going and praying in the face of opposition. That means you need to take the step of faith. And I'm going to be real with you. When you're in the center of God's will, the enemy is going to try to say, hey, no, 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 no. And you've got to know this is what the Lord is calling me to do. I will surrender. I will trust. I will obey. I will praise. And you keep going. Because how do we live? Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So the Spirit leads, the Spirit guides, the Spirit empowers, and we keep moving forward. So now they land in Philippi, which is a foremost part of Macedonia, a colony. Colony is important to point because as a colony, it would have the same rights as the Romans. We find out about this because in Philippi, remember the armies in Philippi, there was the war that took place, Mark Antony and Octavian. They defeated Bartius and they defeated Cassius in this battle. And when that defeat took place, many of the Roman soldiers actually end up retiring there. So there's a lot of Roman presence in that area. And we see here in our text, on the verse 13, and on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city, to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. So there's a few interesting pieces here, because what is Paul's journey and pattern that we've seen when he's gone? He goes and he looks for the synagogue to preach, right? But he's not going to the synagogue here. Why? There's a few pieces here. First, the timing of this second missionary journey, Emperor Claudius is in power at this time. Emperor Claudius, we talked about him. What did we learn? He didn't like the Jewish people. So within Rome, he actually set up that they were banned from their worship, their places of worship. So there's that factor taking place here. The secondary factor is that we get in the text that there's all women, which means there's no Jewish men present. Important detail for a synagogue to be formed culturally, there needed to be 10 Jewish men. 10 Jewish men present, synagogue can be formed. No 10 Jewish men, no synagogue being formed. Now, these women, though, still make that journey and they go. Riverside, interesting location. Think of Jewish culture. They have a lot of water rituals that would take place. So it's set that they're by the riverside. They're able to do those pieces and they're focusing on this day in prayer. And as they're focused on prayer, it's not that the women are there and then Paul turns around. Why do I say that? He studied under Gamaliel. He studied under the great of the greats. And what was the law and order? Rabbi? Women? No, not teaching them. That's not how it would go. But in Christ, all, the Lord wants all. So Paul is going forward. It's not about what the tradition and laws of the rabbis. It's about what the Lord God Almighty says. So they go and they meet them there. And at verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. So this is interesting. The seller of purple lets us know a little bit about her status. There's some wealth there in that status, because that purple, it would be a shellfish, a specific snail that they would smash, and they would get the purple. And it was one by one to get the purple for this. So purple was for royalty. And she's the seller of that purple. And it's interesting because we know what day is this from our text, the Sabbath. Culturally, that was a day where there was a lot of trade going on. We're in Philippi. This is a central city that many would come through. So we see here with this woman, she's not just about her money, because she's focusing. I need to focus on prayer, on God. And what do we learn of her? She worshiped God. Now, when worshiping God, we get then a context. This must be a woman who's Gentile, and in that, we don't know whether she's a proselyte, has she converted, or is she a God-fearer? Because if you think before this, we've seen those different categories of Gentiles in the picture. But she's worshiping God, prioritizing that, and then we get this next bit. Paul spoke to them, and the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. So Paul goes forth and speaks. Because remember, when we started this bit where he got all the no's, what was he going to do? Preach the gospel. God guided. God's provided for him a place to go, a new continent to serve, people there to serve, who will be the first convert in Europe there to share. And we're going to see more that comes that he provides through this. And the Lord provides something that only he can provide in evangelism and in sharing the gospel. He opened her heart. Get that. That's why I always say pray for the soil of the hearts. Because we can't open the heart. We can't. There's nothing we can do to say, oh, I want this person in my family saved. I'm going to do all these different things and I'll be the one to open their heart. No, you won't. But you can pray for the Lord to open their heart, because he's the one who opens it. And be encouraged by that. Think, everyone here, think of somebody you want to see to know, come to know the Lord. Whoever you thought of, pray for the soil of their heart. And then pray for laborers to come about. That's why I pray we're a body of on fire laborers, because then we could be that answer to prayer for people praying, for relatives, for friends, for loved ones. But the Lord opens the heart. And as the Lord opens the heart, she does something that's important. She heeds the things spoken by Paul. When we look at the Hebrew of opened there, the word there points to opening an area, opening something that was closed. Reality, for the one who's not yet named in the book of life, there's a part of your heart closed to Jesus. Well, good, I'm saved. I don't have to worry about that. Check your heart. Got to do open heart surgery every day. Search me, O Lord, try me. Know if there's any anxieties in me. Because as we walk around on the journey, guess what? We can close parts off of our heart. That's why when you think of the washing of the feet that Jesus did, remember, when he did that washing of the feet, it took place and he said, no, you got to do this because I need to make you clean. And it's because we walk in a sin-laden world and we need the Lord to wash our feet every day. It's washed in prayer, repentance, surrender unto the Lord, giving him everything. So for the child of God too, our hearts need to be opened. And when she and her household were baptized, which shows they then believed, now they're baptized, what did she do? Right away, she starts in, let me serve. Let me use hospitality right away. She begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. So we see here this house now comes to faith. The household being servants and others, this is a big moment. God guided. That guiding was through hindrances. God does guide us through hindrances. We can set an intention, we're going to do this, or we could even as a body say, okay, we're going to do this trip to this area, and then it's, okay, this isn't working, isn't working, right? Lord, the Lord's saying no right now. It's not us right now, but Lord, where do you want us to go? The no doesn't mean give up. The no means give up your will. That's it. Because when we struggle with the no, it's because we're holding, but I want to do this now. No, sometimes there's a no. I think of one of the trips that was going to be to Israel got delayed with the Almond Branch ministry. It wasn't the right timing. The Lord said, not right now. And then in the right timing, we saw the trip took place. It was blessed. Praise the Lord. He guided. He provides. We have to be listening. We have to be obedient. And then on the flip side of that, as the Spirit's leading, we need to be open to the Spirit's conviction, because it's the conviction that opens the heart, because we surrender and we give the heart. So this morning, things to ask yourself is, how's your heart? How's your heart? Because he needs all of it. Are there any doors or spots you've decided, I'm going to keep this closed for a little bit? No, he needs all of it. How's your heart? How's your listening? Are you able to discern hearing the will of God in your life? Now, there's something to think about. Last week, we talked about recalibrating. There's something that needs to be at the center of you discerning the will of God. It's the Word of God, brothers and sisters. So to start that, are you listening? It's going to be really hard to listen if you don't have a relationship with the Word of God. Because then you're just going to go on feelings, you're going to go on emotion, you're going to go on whims, and then you do the thing where you like flip, and it's like, okay, whatever I flip to, the Lord must be telling me, your precepts, I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Okay, that is true, but the reality, that might not be what's looking for that true decision. But if I'm immersed in the Word, if I'm going through the Word, I always say, if you're faithfully reading the Word of God, wherever you are, he's going to speak. I remember I was dealing with one thing and opened in Numbers, and I was like, okay, Lord, you're speaking. Woo, praise the Lord. He's faithful in that, but we've got to be in the Word of God, and then we need to have a relationship with the Spirit of God. Said that so much. His Word, his Spirit, his way. It's never going to go away. His Word anchored in the Word. Spirit seeking the filling afresh of the Spirit so that we're discerning and listening. And the way is living as he calls, going where he calls, doing what he calls. So how's your heart? How's your listening? And the third thing to think about this week for charge is, how's your waiting? How is your waiting? Because don't fool yourself to think, well, the Lord's never going to give me a no. I'm just moving forward. He's going to give you no's. And you've got to figure out, how do I deal with the no? How do I face the no? We love hymns in our household. We sing hymns often. And one of my favorite hymns, I want to read the lyrics as we get ready to close, is Trust and Obey. I'm going to read the lyrics. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. And the chorus is, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. Oh, that's when you could then insert, I surrender all, and then go back to that one. For the favor he shows, for the joy he bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet or will walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. That's listening to the Spirit of God. Whatever he says, that's what we're going to do. Where he sends, we will go. Lord's urging you, I need you to go serve there. I need you to go preach the gospel there. I need you to go talk to that neighbor over there. I need you to write a letter to that family member. Go, do it. Never fear. That's an important piece. Only trust and obey. There's a different, I don't know who it's attributed to, who says 365 times there's a version of do not be afraid in Scripture. We get one for every single day. The Lord reminds us often, fear not, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am with you. When we're doing what he says to do, when we're going where he says to go, we need not fear. Because guess what? They're in the will of God. And guess what's about to go down next week? They're going to get arrested. Just because you're in the will of God doesn't mean it's all going to be frolicking in a meadow with peaches and cream. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be different moments, but the Lord's going to do that, and we don't fear. We trust and obey, because trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust is that surrender my will for his will. Obey is that yes, Lord. And I like to say yes, Lord, because Lord is needed when we surrender. We all need lordship surrender, where he's not just my Savior, Jesus, but he's my Lord, because I'm a slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So surrender, trust, obey, and praise. Because when you praise, you're reminded of who he is. You get your eyes off yourself. You know who he is. You know who's in control. And you anchor in that. So we're going to take a moment. We're going to close again. How's your heart? How's your listening? How's your waiting? And as we get ready to close, I'm going to take some time to pray for us all, because some of you here don't know the Lord. You've never given everything to him. I pray that this is the day you do, and your name is in the book of life. For some, you're here and you play the church game. I'm here, I look good, I'm smiling, everything's great. And then you're going to go in your car and you're going to break down, you're going to cry, you're going to be upset, or you're just going to go right back to whatever struggle you're dealing with. Or you're here, everything's good, and then that sin struggle that you haven't laid at the cross, you're suddenly right back in it. If you always do what you always did, you'll always get what you always got. That's one of my favorite quotes when I was a school administrator, my favorite secular quote. And there's something in that. If you just come, hear a message, and then get up and go, it's going to be the same walk with the Lord. But if you hear the word of God preached, you ask the Lord, Father, where are you nudging me from this message? Lord Jesus, where are you bringing conviction? And then you tarry in prayer with the Lord. You ask the Spirit of God to further illuminate, to show you in Scripture. You tarry in prayer. The Lord's going to do a work in and through you for his glory. But it takes us engaging. It takes us being doers, not just hearers. So I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to pray. And I encourage you, as we take that moment, surrender it. Surrender whatever's in the way. Surrender whatever's in the way. I think even let's take a moment of response. Lord, I surrender. And just throw out whatever the Lord's asking you to surrender. Lord, I surrender whatever's in the way. Lord, I surrender, and throw it out. nice and loud.
Lord, I surrender my expectations.
Impatience. Father God, we thank you that we can come to you, Lord, and surrender unto you, Father. Lord, you heard the many things lifted up before you, distractions, impatience, irritations, my mouth. And Father God, Lord Jesus, you know the unspoken surrenders. Because, Lord, if we're real, every single one of us has something that you're nudging us to surrender, Lord. And help us to do it, Father God. Help us to be a people who listen to your Spirit, Lord, the leading of your Spirit, Father God. For, Lord, as the under-shepherd of this flock, Lord, you are laying so clear you want to use this body for your glory in a dark and broken world. And, Lord, we need us each seeking the filling of your Spirit, anchored in the Word as we've never been, to be obedient unto what you lay unto our hearts. And Lord, it takes surrender. It takes breaking. Help us to allow you to do that, Lord. You are my God. You are my King. You are my Master. My everything, you are my Lord, that's why I sing to you, hallelujah.
Why don't we stand and sing to our King? You are my God, you are my King, you are my Master, my everything, you are my Lord, that's why I sing to you. Hallelujah. You are my God. You are my King. You are my Master. Hallelujah.
brothers and sisters, remember we're made by him and for him. I know most of you here today, and I exhort you as your pastor, seek our King more. The time is now. He's got work he wants to do through this body, and we're going forward for the Lord's glory. And it's not just a few of us going. He needs everybody going. So dig in more, make time for the Lord more, because every single one of you has a gift that the Lord needs used for his glory. And we got to dig in because the time's now. So saddle up. I'm excited, but we're going forth for Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, Lord. And thank you for my brothers and sisters. I love this body of believers so much, Lord. Thank you for the joy and love we have in you. Father, I pray your blessing on them. And Lord, those of us who are able to return for prayer tonight, we ask you to prepare our hearts for that time, that we seek to commune with you more and intercede in prayer for your will, for your glory. Lord, thank you for this day in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Have a blessed afternoon.